Consumers are taking to ebooks fast, almost as fast as they've taken to the readers and tablets where ebooks live in the digital world. Welcome to Beyond the Book, Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series covering the changing media landscape. My name is Christopher Keneally, and a February 2012 report from Pew Research found that one in five U.S. adults had read an ebook in the last 5 years. Latest figures available from the American Association of Publishers show that year-over-year sales of adult ebook titles rose 49.4% in January, from $66.6 million to $99.5 million. Children and young adult ebooks climbed in the same period 475%, from just under $4 million in sales to more than $22 million. Altogether, says AAP, ebooks make up 17.5% of the children's trade segment and nearly one-third of the adult trade market. But there is trouble in the ebook Eden. News that the U.S. Department of Justice is suing a number of publishers and Apple over alleged price fixing for ebooks has thrown a spotlight on the pricing issue, raising questions in the minds of consumers and publishers about costs and profits. And joining me on the line to discuss these issues from his office in New York City is Jeremy Greenfield, editorial director at Digital Book World. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, it's good to have you back on because you wrote recently about this issue and got quite a lot of internet commentary to your story. We want to talk about all of that. There's confusion and even anger out there among consumers about what they see as price gouging when it comes to ebooks. And you also spoke to publishers who defend themselves and argue that consumers aren't seeing the whole story. So break it down for us. What did you find?
So basically, I noticed that there was a lot of grousing among consumers that ebooks were too expensive. And I decided to start talking to consumers about why they thought ebooks were too expensive. And that's really where the reporting began. I just asked as many consumers as I could find, and I found them in many, many different places, why they felt that ebook pricing was unfair. And overwhelmingly, the number one answer they gave me was, ebooks don't cost anything to produce, so why should I pay more for them? They felt that, you know, because it was electronic, that you didn't have printing and you didn't have paper and you didn't have trucks and you didn't have store shelves and retail employees, that basically the entire distribution and production system was free, and so ebooks should be nearly free, you know, giving the publisher and the bookseller, you know, a tidy little profit. The second thing I did, once I found out that's what consumers really thought, was I dug into whether that was true or not. And according to the people I spoke with, anyway, that isn't true at all, that the ebook production and distribution ecosystem is actually almost as expensive as the print side. You know, there are definitely some savings. It's definitely cheaper to create, produce, and distribute an ebook than it is to do all those things for a print book. And furthermore, with ebooks, you don't have returns, which is a big deal in the print book world, where the bookseller doesn't sell all the books, and so it sends the books back to the publisher, and that's really just a big loss for the publisher. So there are savings on the ebook side, but those things in aggregate are not cheap, and they're certainly not free.
Right. And the point that publishers made is one that authors will certainly want to cheer. And that is that, you know, there is a cost to putting a book together. And that cost is the fee that gets paid to authors as well as editors and others. But it starts with the creator of the book.
Yeah. Now, just because the content appears in an ebook doesn't mean that it was free. You know, a consumer might say, well, you already paid them for the print book, so the ebook, you don't have to pay them again. But if you're an accountant at a publishing company, I think that something like that might make you tear your hair out. When you're thinking about the profit and loss around an ebook, you have to attribute some percentage of the initial content creation to that distribution method. So I think one of the corollaries here that I didn't really talk about in the article is if you're producing an ebook, and you're also producing a print book from the same piece of content, basically, the print book is theoretically cheaper to produce because a part of that content creation cost gets ascribed to the ebook. So if I pay you, Chris, $100,000 for your next book, And
I'll take that deal right now, yeah, Jeremy.
Of course, yeah. Let's make it 200,000.
Okay,
just
please.
For the hell of it. So I give you 200,000 for your next book, and you know, 15 years ago, that cost would have been ascribed to the print book, and all the money earned would have been earned through the print book, and then the paperback edition, and then we know it's going to be very successful. So we're making a second edition is going to come out for you, and probably dozens more. In current situation, you have to ascribe some percentage of that 200,000 to the creation of the ebook. So let's say you give it half. So it costs 100,000 to create the ebook content-wise, and it costs 100,000 for the print book. Well, that makes the print book a little bit cheaper, and it makes the profit margin on the print book a little bit stronger.
Right. And you know, there's a chance we could get into the weeds really fast in all of this. But of course, royalty rates are quite different. And there's a whole aspect to ebooks that is really just still sorting itself out as to what the costs of them are. But in your reporting, you talk about some of the hidden costs. You've got someone from Penguin here who says she estimates that ebook production is about 10% less than print book production. What are some of the things that go into the cost of producing an ebook?
Well, I think that if you want to go the most basic that you can go, which is I already have all of the content and I have it in print form, and I just want to convert it to a very straight, very simple, very low budget digital form, at the very least you need two things. You need an ebook conversion house or a person to actually do it. You know, obviously an ebook conversion house will offer you savings over hiring someone just to do that one thing. And you need someone to distribute the book. And of course, you need a bookseller, and they take a cut as well. But you pay the ebook conversion house, and the rates for a very, very simple conversion can go anywhere from just 20, 30 cents a page to a couple dollars a page. And you pay the distributor, and the distributor typically just takes a percentage cut. 10% is a number that I've being in many places, and it's usually somewhere around there. I'm sure for bigger publishers that cut goes down a little bit. So you're at the very least going to have to pay a conversion house to convert the book, plus distribute it, plus the bookseller will take their cut. So that's the most simple version of it. But let's say that you are a very big publishing company like Random House. Random House is the largest trade book publisher in the world, and you want to publish all of your hundreds and hundreds of books that come out every year, plus all of your books that came out many years ago as ebooks. You need people. You need lots of people to do that. You need an entire department of people to do that. So you probably need a handful of technologists and ebook designers. Very similar to what you have on the print side. On the print side, you need people to source your paper and your ink and choose the different fonts and design the cover. And you need all those things, but an ebook version of them. And they can't really be the same person in most cases. And then if you're a company like Random House, you go in one of two directions when it comes to production and distribution. You either hire a partner, like say a company like Uptara or a company like InnoData to create the actual ebook, and a partner like Ingram perhaps to distribute the ebook, or you can do that in-house. Either way, it requires a tremendous amount of manpower to do it. Probably the cheaper way to go is to hire a partner who specializes in these things and can give you efficiencies of scale. Even if you hire a partner like Anotara and InnoData to convert and an Ingram to distribute, you have to actually have people on the publishing company side to manage that relationship. There are people that are making sure that the partners are doing their jobs, that are monitoring all the information coming out of the partners when it comes to sales and distribution. So I think the sort of macro story here is that there's a whole infrastructure that you need to produce ebooks on a large scale that people just don't really think of. A lot of the commenters in the article said, well, Microsoft Word will do it, and you can just convert it to a PDF. Why don't you do that? Well, first of all, big companies, you know, don't sell PDFs generally. They sell much more sophisticated files that look and perform a lot better. But second of all, there's a lot more that goes into it than just pressing a button and sending it off to the distributor. But you need people to sort of officially do that and to manage that relationship. So I think it's a lot more complicated than people give it credit for. And I think the net result is you need people to do it, and people are expensive.
Well, absolutely. It's a complicated matter to produce a book of any kind, Jeremy, but that becomes a communications problem that publishers have, don't you think?
I think that that's part of it. It's a communications issue. But again, you still need people to manage that communication.
Right, because I believe that, you know, you had a quote, as I mentioned, from someone at Penguin saying that the cost of an ebook is about 10% less than that for a print book. But you've got someone else, you know, a consumer who says that, you know, they expect that ebooks cost about 10%. So there's a real variance there in the estimation of what costs are and therefore what price ought to be. And it strikes me that publishers are up against a wall on this one. They're really going to have to prove value in ways that they didn't have to before, because the whole notion of what went into all of it was visible to people. They walked into a bookstore, they had the product in their hand, they had a sense of that infrastructure you're talking about because it was there right in front of them.
Yeah, and I think I misunderstood your question about communication. I think you're right. The publishers are really up against it in terms of telling this story. But you really touched on another issue when it comes to this ebook cost thing, is that consumers, regardless of whether the ebook costs a lot to produce or a little to produce, they realize that they're not getting the same thing with the print book. With the print book, you get something that you can hold and feel and put on your bookshelf and resell or lend to someone else. With the ebook, you're actually licensing a file that you have a license to use in various ways. And those ways don't generally include sharing or reselling or giving to somebody else. So that was like the third or fourth complaint that consumers had. And a lot of consumers never even thought about that. But that's something that they should also think about as well. But I think you're right that publishers are very much up against it when it comes to conveying the value that they deliver with ebooks, and that it does cost them something to produce the ebooks, which, you know, it's not as important in my mind as what you get with an ebook. You know, when I'm a consumer, I think to myself, am I getting good value for the money I'm paying for something? But publishers really, I don't think, have a leg to stand on with consumers when it comes to arguing that it costs them money to produce ebooks, because there's just such an overwhelming distrust among consumers when a big company says, oh, we have all these problems and, oh, we have all these costs. And, you know, if you look at the comments in this article, you can see that most consumers just aren't buying those arguments from publishers. Now, it's my job to go and talk to these publishers and to decide for myself, you know, are they telling the truth? Do I buy what they're saying? I generally wouldn't publish a quote from a publisher if I didn't buy what they were saying. And, you know, the people that we talked to in the article are people that I've had as sources for quite some time, and I think I've gotten to know them well and can sort of feel out whether they're being genuine. And I do really think that they are, but I don't think that it's a story consumers are going to be very receptive to.
Well, I think that's the unfortunate case of so much about the digital world. We are talking to Jeremy Greenfield, editorial director of Digital Book World, about an article he reported recently called Consumers Upset and Confused Over Ebook Pricing. And Jeremy, tell us about what the consumers wrote in to respond to your story, because I think that was very revealing.
The consumers just didn't buy it. I mean, they basically just said, I don't believe these publishers. Here's how you produce ebooks. You put them into a Word document and you press a button and it's off at the store. What's so difficult about that? And the publishers themselves were very earnest in responding and saying, like, it costs me more than what you quoted. It costs me less than what you quoted. We got an email from a publisher, and I actually wrote a separate blog post about this, talking about how it costs her just as much, if not more, to produce ebooks, and how she isn't making any sort of profit on them. Obviously, these things vary very greatly from publisher to publisher. Let me give you a little example. Let's say that you are Random House, or no, let's say you're Simon & Schuster, and you're producing the Steve Jobs book. The Steve Jobs book is basically just text. It's just words. And so the ability to take those words and put them onto a Kindle or a Nook or an iPad, it's pretty easy. It's a known thing. We've known how to do it for years now, and it's something that they all do pretty well. But what if you are a children's book publisher and you want to take the latest, you know, Berenstain Bears book that you want to bring to a new audience, or another illustrated children's book, and you want to bring that to the iPad or the Kindle Fire or the Nook tablet or someone's computer screen? The complexity of doing that so far outstrips the complexity of doing print books. You have to think about how the page is laid out. You have to think about, what if someone turns their tablet to the side and they want to look at a vertical view versus a horizontal view? You have to think about how the colors are going to appear on the different kinds of screens. You have to think about, well, the iPad screen's about 10 inches corner to corner, and the Kindle Fire screen's about 7 inches corner to corner, and there are some computer monitors that are 20 inches corner to corner, and some of them are square-shaped. You have to think about all of these different things, and you have to create a very sophisticated piece of software and a very sophisticated file type to be able to render the same book beautifully on all these different screens. And this is a revolutionary problem for publishers, because forever publishers controlled to the every detail how their content would appear. If you were a publisher of beautiful children's books, you sold the book exactly how you want it to appear. It's hardcover, it's a wide book, it's a big book that kids can touch. Maybe there's some fuzzy things on the inside that little children can touch and have tactile interactions with. And with ebooks now, there are so many ways that it can be consumed that you have lost all of that control. And, you know, publishers are struggling to figure out, how do I bring this beautiful content to all of these different audiences when I don't have this control anymore? And that kind of ebook production can be very, very expensive, and there are few companies that have figured out how to make it profitable.
At least not yet. And Jeremy Greenfield, finally, we've been talking about the publishers and the consumers. There's another party that's involved here, and of course that's authors. Did you get responses from authors who find themselves perhaps caught in the middle?
You know, I did get responses from authors, and the responses really varied between, I'm a self-published author and I do all of this myself and it couldn't be easier and it shouldn't cost anything, all the way to the other side where authors were saying, you know, you're absolutely right, this doesn't cost nothing, and, you know, if I work with a big publisher, I'm only going to get 25% of that, and really sympathizing with the point of view. But I think in terms of authors, the way I looked at it anyways is that they are a piece of the production, but they're also ebook consumers. And as ebook consumers, I think they do feel the pain of the other ebook consumers, and I think that they don't always quite understand everything that goes into the production of ebooks. But I think the issue for ebooks and authors is about royalties and about money and about support from a publishing company or about going it alone. So for authors, the ebook pricing issue isn't as much, you know, what's fair and how much does it cost, as much as how much money can I make and how can I maximize my profit. And that is a topic for another article.
Absolutely, and probably a topic for another discussion with Jeremy Greenfield, who is editorial director at Digital Book World. We'll look forward to having you back and continuing to tell our audience about the reporting you're doing there on ebook pricing issues. Jeremy Greenfield, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Chris, for having me. Always a pleasure.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/beyondthebook. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.